Hey everyone, if you're interested in becoming a speech language pathologist, please stay tuned for this episode. Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. We are continuing, I say this every time, it's our career series. Y'all know it's our career series. You read the description, but thanks for joining us. We're having a really fun time with this series because we get to learn about a lot of different careers that I feel like we have not had a lot of insight into. So today I feel like is a cool one. It's a really cool one. It's different. We're joined by one of my friends. Her name is Casey Wickerson, and she is a speech language pathologist. I'm going to read her bio, and then I'm going to let Casey introduce herself. So Casey Wickerson is an ASHA-certified speech-language pathologist and the owner of Teach Speech, a speech therapy company that teaches parents and caregivers how to grow and support their child's communication skills at home. Casey received her undergraduate degree from Western Carolina University in Communication Sciences and Disorders and earned her master's degree at South Carolina State University in speech pathology and audiology. While she loves working with little ones, it's the caregivers who want to learn and understand their child's development who really tug at her heart. She's helped many parents take an active role in improving their child's communication skills under their own roof by creating communities like the Teach Speech Parent Group and creating educational opportunities through her caregiver coaching programs, such as the Late Talking Toddler. Her ultimate goal is for caregivers to feel confident and competent when it comes to helping their child improve their overall communication skills. So Casey, welcome to the podcast. What's up?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. No, I'm excited. I've also been through Casey's Teach Speech before. So
yes.
I'll make sure I'm on point. I mean, I feel like you helped a lot though. Yeah, I would thank you. That's right. I was a client. I read your bio. So that was a great intro, but can you just give us a little bit of your background, maybe starting with what made you want to enter into the field of speech language pathology?
Sure. So at first, I thought I wanted to be an engineer. And then my mom, when I was around 16, I was a junior in high school, and my mom kind of sat me down and was like, all right, what you gonna do? You know? And so I was like, okay, I don't know. So then we kind of did like research together, and she started asking me what my interests were and what I like to do and things like that. And she was like, you know what? You would be a good speech therapist. And I was like, what is that? And she pulled it up for me. She let me do all of the reading. And once I understood that speech therapists help connect people to their world through communication, I was like, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. So I ended up doing my senior exit project on the lack of speech language pathologists at the middle school and high school level. And it kind of just went from there. I decided to major in it, and then got my master's in it, and then, you know, became it. So yeah, kind of how it went.
Awesome. I want to touch back on your project later on, but just for students that or even parents that are listening today, can you kind of give us a description of what a speech pathologist or language does?
Right. Okay. So a speech language pathologist does different things based off of whatever setting that they're in. But we diagnose, assess, treat all communication disorders or swallowing and feeding disorders related to human beings. So we can work with children as early as 18 months, 2 years old, infants sometimes. We can help them with their communication development all the way up to, you know, all through the school age, past the school age. We can help adults with corporate speech therapy, meaning how you're presenting yourself communication-wise in the corporate space. We can help geriatrics and the skilled nursing facility with their neurological difficulties and swallowing difficulties. We literally can work with anybody. You can work in the NICU. You can work anywhere, really, because anything from the waist up has something to do with communication. And so it kind of spans that way. But we really just diagnose, assess, treat, and prevent communication disorders along with swallowing and feeding difficulties.
Very cool. It's a good description. So you said, well, you majored in communication sciences and disorders. Is that like the most common? I'm sure that is like the most common major. But are there other majors that could help people get into that field as well?
It's either called communication sciences and disorders, or it's called speech pathology and audiology. They're the same thing, but they are no different. So it's not a broad degree. It is, if you want to be a speech pathologist, that's your major. I had somebody email me the other day, and they were like, I go to a school that doesn't have speech pathology as, you know, the program, but I want to go and I want to be a speech pathologist. Like, what other major do you suggest I take? And I didn't get a chance to reply to her yet, but in my mind, I'm thinking, you need to transfer, because if you want to be a speech pathologist, maybe that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's the good and the bad of it, is once you get to a certain point in the major, it does not transfer to other things a lot. It's not like a communications degree. You don't go into communications and then become a speech. You can go into anything, finish it, and then want to go to grad school as a speech pathologist. That is possible. It will take a longer period of time in grad school, and that's fine. But if you are looking to be a speech pathologist in undergrad, you need to have one of those, a major for speech pathology, because it is very niched, very specific. You know exactly what you're doing. Now, you may not know how you're going to do it. You don't know if you're going to be in a nursing home or early intervention or schools or the VA clinic or, you know, anywhere like that, or corporate, whatever. But you know that you want to be a speech pathologist if you continue on with that major.
Mm-hmm. So going off of that, too, would you say that someone can get into the field with a bachelor's degree only, or is that master's kind of like you need to have the master's to really do well in the field?
You can get into the field with a bachelor's degree in speech pathology. You can't get into the field with a bachelor's degree only in something else. That you're not going to be able to do unless... Okay, so let me take you through it. So if you are... say you went through undergrad and you got a different degree that's not speech pathology. You learn about speech pathology and you're like, I want to get into that. I don't want to go back to school for 4 years for it. What can I do? Typically, you can go to a community college that has speech pathology assistant programs, and you can go there. You can get a 2-year associate's degree, and then you can work as a speech language pathology assistant. That is somebody who is supervised by a fully certified and licensed speech language pathologist and does treatment mostly. And that's basically it. Like, they'll do treatment, some screenings, depending on like their level of expertise and stuff like that and experience, some screenings, and they really help assist the speech pathologist, but they do take care of a lot of treatment and documentation. If you don't have any background at all in speech pathology, no associates, no bachelor's, no master's, there's no way to be one. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you go into undergrad as a speech language pathology major and get your bachelor's degree in it and you want to start working, you also can become a speech pathology assistant. You will still be supervised and everything else, but you will have had that training, that education, that formal education, and you can work as that. And you can do that up and through, you know, your master's program, if that's what you choose to do. But having a master's degree is the only way that you're going to be able to diagnose and assess and do the full scope of practice that speech pathology or speech pathologists can do.
That was great. I think you just explained that perfectly. And I kind of, that's what I always really root for when we're trying to do these career series, because you definitely describe that there's different ways to get into it, mm-hmm. but how not to get into it. And mm-hmm. something that I found interesting was, so it sounds like if you want to get into this field, you do have to know that you want to get into this field, because it's not really pivotable. But a benefit that I did hear was you don't necessarily need to know right off the bat specifically what you want, like where you want to do in it. So I think you said nursing home or kind of screening. So I can kind of give a little flexibility with that.
Yeah, because I just knew up and down I didn't want to work with kids. And look at me now.
You know, working with kids.
A whole therapy practice dedicated to children. So it's just like, you don't know, but the benefit is that I can pivot if I want to. Now, you can pivot in the career.
Right.
You can't pivot outside of it, though. So it's like, you know, that is like one of my biggest pieces of advice. If you are sitting in your classes, speech pathology classes, sophomore year, when you're first getting into that kind of like core instruction with speech therapy,
right?
You're hating it, go on and get out. Because the further you get into it, the deeper you are. And I don't know what you would transfer it over to. Now, you can, of course, change your major, but you're going to be essentially starting over in a sense because it is very niched.
And so with the education part of speech pathology, is there any like licensure? Is there any different kind of like licenses for different states? Do you have to go through any of that?
Yeah. So after you get through your grad program, even if you don't, but I'll start with the master's degree. If you go through your grad program, you're going to have to complete 400 clinical hours. And 25 of those have to be observation hours. So you'll basically be doing clinicals like the last, almost the last year of your master's program. We're doing that, and then you graduate. But you graduate, and then you need to take... Some people do it before they graduate. I did. But you take what's called the praxis exam. And so you take a national exam for speech pathology, and you have to pass that with a certain score. And once you pass that, you submit that to ASHA, which is our accrediting body. And that's how you end up getting your C's. Now, you don't have to. Your C's are your certification, is your clinical your certificate of clinical competence. You, as a speech pathologist, you want to have your C's. Like, you want to be a certified speech language pathologist, nationally certified speech language pathologist. That's what the accrediting body does. So that's the route you want to take. You don't have to be certified. You don't have to have your C's in order to get a job. A lot of jobs, though, will compensate you a little bit more if you have your C's, and a lot of jobs just require it. So you need to go ahead and get them if that way, you know, if that's it. Once you get your C's, that is only like that is separate from wherever you're going to work. So if you decide I want to work in South Carolina, okay, you need to have the requirements that the state board of speech language pathology and audiology in South Carolina have. If you want to work in North Carolina, you need to have those as well. Some states, though, have reciprocity. So, for example, I started out, I went to South Carolina State University for my master's degree. I got my first job in South Carolina, finished out my clinical fellowship, which I skipped, and I will take you back to because you also need to do that. Finished out my clinical fellowship, got my C's, and then applied for my North Carolina licensure because South Carolina and North Carolina had reciprocity. So if they approve me in South Carolina, they'll approve me here. You still got to pay. Still got to do membership, you know, still got to do all of that. They ain't just going to give it to you. But that's kind of how that works. So just for a second, I'm just going to take it right just back through one more time because I realize I skipped one part. So you graduate, you take the test, you pass the praxis, and you can take the test at any time. You don't even have to like pass it the first time. You can keep retaking it. You do that, you graduate, and then you go through a 9-month period of clinical fellowship. So that's kind of like paid internship in a sense, but so you are an SLP. It's called a CFSLP. So you are an SLP. However, you are still supervised by a fully licensed SLP, and you are kind of learning how to be a full speech therapist where you're applying everything that you learned in school to your job, but you are paid. It's not internship. It's you're paid as an SLP. So you are expected to show up as one and have that expertise. But through that 9 months, you're learning how to kind of like navigate, basically. And you get that supervision. After that 9 months, you get your certification. You get your C's. And then you're a fully certified speech therapist. But all of those steps are necessary for that. And then you go into whatever licensure you have to, you know, go through. And you do need licensure for whatever you're going to do your CF in. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot you got to do.
Yeah, a lot of steps.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't want to do this, don't do it. Because there's a lot you have to do. And as always, I mean, it's always my advice to be licensed in different states, because you can get teletherapy work. You can go to a state and host an event and you know, do some screenings and do something and still make money. Like, you can do all of those. You can treat anywhere else. So anywhere you frequent often, like I have mine in South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia, because I go those places. And if I want to do anything there, I have the license to do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it kind of just goes that way. You can go out in California. You know, it's just whatever the state licensure is. And the state and ASHA don't really, they don't clash. So a lot of times you'll call ASHA and be like, well, what do I do this? And they'll be like, refer to your state board. Everything is really about your state.
Mm.
That makes sense.
No, it does.
That's interesting. Oh, and then one more thing to clear up too, just because you kind of opened my mind to that for different like telecommuting or just different states. So does it matter where you are physically? So let's say you're on vacation, but you also want to talk to somebody and get some cash while you're on vacation. Does it really just matter where they're located? So whether they're in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, is that how that works?
Yeah. So it's a little, people don't be following the rules, but it's supposed to be, I believe it's wherever your client is sitting, you need a license in to treat them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, that is what I believe it is. There had been some discrepancy in a couple of Facebook groups, but girl, ain't nobody trying to get their license snatched. So you better
figure out the rules.
Follow those rules. Yeah. You got to refer to your state again, see what their telepractice, like, you know, rules and ethics are, and follow it. Like, example, you can't be in Mexico talking about seeing a kid in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unless you can. But you just double check is what I'm really saying. Mm-hmm. But last I heard, wherever your client is sitting, you need a license in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. I have a question, because you mentioned at the beginning, like, how you and your mom researched this.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, I'll just say it myself, like, I was like, I'm going to be a physical therapist when I go to in my life, you know, for my career, and I didn't do any research. I didn't know. I knew what they did, but I didn't know the steps. I'm just curious, in your research in high school, did you know about all this, like, all this process you had to go through, like, or did you know the majority of it? I'll ask that way.
Yeah, I knew. I knew that what I knew for sure was that I could get out of school in 6 years, and that was important to me. That was very, like, I ain't trying to be in school forever. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, okay, 4 years, then two. Cool. Yeah. That was a little enticing for me, but I didn't know this much detail. I didn't know about like the clinical fellowship and, you know, the national exam and stuff like that. No, I didn't know that until I got into the major in undergrad.
Okay. That makes sense. I think I asked that too. Just, I mean, I always say, just do your research. Like, that's one of our biggest things that we say. Yeah. And at least you knew, like, you at least knew, like, it's going to be this amount of schooling and, you know, I have to go into this major. So I think I just wanted to have you state that, you know, you at least knew some of the information for the career. But I also wanted to ask you.
Go ahead. There's just so many now, like so many YouTube channels and podcasts and Instagram pages, bloggers and all types of stuff to where it is easy to find out what speech therapists do. Because they're everywhere now. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to do your research in that way.
Yeah. And that's another good point. I'll say, I know. So at work, we do this like presentation every week, but one of the stats that we share is like 30% of students change their major within the first year of starting college. But we always say it's a lower number. I'm sure when we were all in school, you know, it was like everybody changing the major. But I think because we have those resources like YouTube, we have podcasts, we have just like a lot more technology at our fingertips. Hopefully a lot more students are using that and know what they want to go into. So that's a good point. I was going to ask, and I'm sure it's different every day, what your day to day, like what a typical day to day looks like, if there's typical, but just a general overview.
So I'm a school speech therapist right now. I contract my business with the school district. So right now it looks like a ton of paperwork at this specific time.
Yeah.
In the school year, it's a lot of paperwork. But day to day, what it really looks like is I plan for speech therapy groups. So I have a whole schedule. I group, you know, different students in together. I go get them. I do my therapy. I write the notes for all of that. Activities and therapy, games, stuff like that. Write the notes for all of that. I may test a different kid, pull a different kid for an evaluation, do a hearing screening, write a report, attend IEP meetings. And yeah, I mean, that's basically at and repeat. Like, you know, that's what it is. But you treat different things throughout the day. So I may be treating fluency. I may be treating articulation, which is kind of how you say your words and sounds. Fluency was kind of like stuttering. I may be treating language deficits and what kids understand, what they don't understand, how they express themselves, expressive language, all types of stuff like that. So a social language, a lot of social language, and how we use our social skills in communication, how we pick up on certain, you know, things and body language and facial expressions, how we express our emotions, different things like that. So all types of kids, basically all day. I also push into what we call a separate setting classroom. So those are for students who would benefit better from remaining in one class, you know, all day, based off of just a little bit more moderate to severe difficulties that they have. So I'll push into a lot of those classes, and by push in, I mean go in the class instead of pulling kids out. I'll go in and do my therapy sessions there and different things like that. That's one of my favorite things to do just because it's just fun therapy and it's not so academic based, but it's different for whatever setting you're in. Your day will look a little different, but that's how mine looks right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you, and it's really funny that you say that too, because the first time that I really understood a little bit of what speech pathology was is my mom owns a daycare. So we would have speech pathologists come in all the time. They're like, get the kids ready. Like, and they're going through like all their different kind of activities that they have to do. And it's very informational, like the information that you get, especially for how young they were, because we had some kids that were in the 2-year-old room all the way up to pre-K. So it's very insightful, and the information that you're able to pull, because we've had some students that were global students too, and like some speech pathologists picked up like, oh, well, he's trying to learn this new language now because that's his first language. And it was a lot of that interesting information. So What are the other different types of, because I know you mentioned it earlier, but I'm just kind of curious. So if, let's say, someone was going to work in, I think you mentioned like a nursing home, is there different like skills that you have to learn for different types of speech pathologies? Or like if someone was in an accident, there's more intensive work that you have to learn about and use?
Yes. So there's that whole side of speech pathology is called the medical speech pathology. So if you want to be a medical SLP, you can go full on like hospital, skilled nursing facility. You can go full on like with swallowing, with trach patients, with stroke patients, all types of stuff. Like you can go fully that way and be doing barium swallow studies and all types of x-rays and different things like that, where you're studying the swallow. Now, I'm limited on this because I'm not a medical SLP. I always say, don't nobody want me near that grandma because I do not remember this stuff no more. Now, you're going to learn it. Like if you go to grad school, you're going to have a medical clinical and you'll have likely a school one. And so when I'm in the medical setting at that time, I remembered everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it also just depends on where you are. But you can go, you can be a full on medical SLP and have all of those skills. And typically, if you're not like doing both, if you're not like PRN, you could do both. You can go to the school all week long. And then at nighttime from 5 to 9 or however long, you can go to the skilled nursing facility and brush up on those skills and do that too. But you kind of do have to tap into different modes when you go into those settings because it's not the same at all.
So this question, it could be broad, but I'm just curious on if someone's interested in this field, what kind of skills would you say are needed to be a successful speech therapist?
I think you need to be, funny enough, you need to be a good communicator. Mm-hmm. whether that's a school SLP, an early intervention SLP, or a travel one, or a medical one, you need to be able to communicate well. I personally think you need what I will generally call just bedside manner. You need the ability to break down what it is that you're doing in a simple and understandable way to family, to friends, to loved ones of whoever you are seeing. So that's why I say a good communicator. You need to be somebody who's open to learn always, willing to be wrong and willing to make it right, figuring out, you know, what it is that you need to do. I think you definitely need to be a team player because you're not going to be working by yourself. I mean, you do work by yourself, but it is a very much a team type of deal. So if you're in the medical side, you're going to be working with nurses, you're going to be working with doctors, you're going to be working, you know, you're going to be, that is a lot of collaboration you'll be doing. If you're working in the school, baby, you got a lot of people you're going to be talking to. So it's like, you need to like people. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but after the pandemic, I just feel like don't nobody like nobody no more. And it's like, well, you can't be like that in this field because that's what we're doing. That's what we're helping. So I think those things, you need to have a passion for what we're doing and a desire to learn more and continue to sharpen your skills and your strategies. So I think those things are probably the things that pop up in my head first.
Mm-hmm. I have a follow-up question too. Mm-hmm. Speaking of like polishing up your education, do you all have to like recertify a certain, like, you know, after a certain amount of years, or is it like continuing education you all have to do?
Yeah, you definitely have to have continuing education both for your state standards and for ASHA, for your C's. Now, ASHA will generally, no, your state will generally take whatever you do for ASHA and vice versa, but you have to have 30 hours every 3 years, at least every 3 years. And that's anything related to, you know, they're called contact hours, but anything related to what you're doing, and you have to report that, you know, prove that. Also, you can take classes that have that are ASHA kind of approved, and they offer certain amounts of hours. So you could take like a seminar or something like that that offers 1.5 hours, and then if you're gonna do like CEU credits, you only need three. If you're gonna just count your hours, you need 30. And so, like, you could take a seminar, like I said, that's like, oh, if you finish this, we're offering 1.5 ASHA CEUs. They kind of have a registry that they keep up for your stuff. You got to pay for it, but they do keep it up. And so you would be halfway through what you needed in your three-year cycle, if that makes sense. So, like, at the end of this year, I'm going to be at mine. So I definitely need to be taking some CEUs and making sure I'm keeping track of every learning opportunity that I have so that I can prove at the end that I need to do that. In order to be an ASHA member and continue to have your CEUs, you do have to pay at the end of the year $200 something. And that's annual.
Okay. And for my final question, if you don't have any others, Kiki, what are the highlights of your job and what are some of the challenges of your job?
I think the highlights of my job is seeing the transformation on children, specifically like seeing the light bulb go off or helping them understand concepts. I think like language is more so like what I love to treat because it's just everywhere in our world. You know, if you can't understand what you're taking in, then how are we existing? You know what I'm saying? It's going to change how you show up in the world. So that's one of my biggest like highlights is little bit of progress being made. When I see it, it's not understanding a vocabulary word last week, and now you remember what it is this week, and now you're using it. Like that progression is just, it's beautiful for me to see. And the challenges are that this field is something that, you know, where it's a growing field, but it has a long way to go. A lot of people still don't know what we do. And there are still not a lot of Black SLPs. And so we make up around 3 or 4%. And there's 8% SLPs of color.
Wow.
Of that 8% of color, we make up 4%. The rest of our industry is white. And so the adults need, the world needs more Black speech language pathologists. We just do. And that it can be difficult to navigate sometimes. I'll say that's a challenge along with the paperwork, but I mean, that's with the job.
Well, thank you so much, Casey, for allowing us to interview and having you on. It's always really great just interviewing people in different careers because we're like, oh, I've heard of that before, but we haven't taken a deep dive into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, thank you for your work. It really is a central part of society and people communicating because that's the number one thing that we do each and every day. Do you want to shout out your website? Because I know you said you have a couple of programs that you have. Feel free to shout that out.
Yeah. So my website is teachspeechservices.com. And I am also on Instagram at teachspeechservices. So if you ever need any type of resources or anything like that for parents who are trying to help their children communicate better and improve their communication skills at home, that's where you can find me. My personal page is Casey Jalise, and that's kind of where I talk about some of the experiences of just being a speech pathologist. And my entire journey of becoming a speech pathologist is on YouTube. And that is at Casey Jalise as well. So, yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Casey. And thank you to all of our listeners out there. Please make sure to follow our social media platforms as well. The Awesome Podcast, Instagram, TikTok. Make sure you listen to our other episodes that we have in our career series, and also information of basic information of how to get into college or trade school. And please send us emails as well for any other careers that you are interested in hearing more about. But until then, we will see you in the next one.
See you.
Bye. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.